Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and us women, you will wow. Just brush up your Shakespeare, and we'll all kowtow.
Hello and welcome to round four of Brush Up Your Shakespeare. I'm your host, Cassie, and with me is, absolutely no one because, due to circumstances and things and whatevers, I am flying solo this week. But I'm still here and yay, and I'm awesome, so... Yay. Okay, so we are going to jump right into this for this round, as well, at least the contestants know. What was this round called? Oh, yes, Once More with This Feeling Week, where the contestants were given a monologue and told to perform it two different ways, one being the way it's meant to be played and the other being, well, different, to see how they handle direction. And excuse me, my mouth is very dry. So, first up is Russ.
Now, my co-mates and brothers in exile, hath not old custom made this life more sweet than that of painted pomp? Are not these woods more free from peril than the envious court? Here feel we but the penalty of Adam, the season's difference, as the icy fang and churlish chiding of the winter's wind, which, when it bites and blows upon my body, even till I shrink with cold, I smile and say, this is no flattery. These are counselors that feelingly persuade me what I am. Sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in his head. And this our life, exempt from public haunt, finds tongues in trees, books in the running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything. Now, my comrades and brothers in exile, hath not old custom made this life more sweet than that of painted pomp? Are not these woods more free from peril than the envious court? Here feel we but the penalty of Adam, the season's difference, as the icy fang and churlish chiding of the winter's wind, which, when it bites and blows upon my body, even till I shrink with cold, I smile and say, this is no flattery. These are counselors that feelingly persuade me what I am. Sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in his head. And this, our life, exempt from public haunt, finds tongues and trees, books and the running brooks, sermons and stones, and good in everything.
And that was Russ! Woohoo! Russ did a monologue, or was given a monologue, because I assigned everyone their monologues. He did it, and he was given... Wait, anyway, go on. Sorry. Monologue from As You Like It, Act 2, Scene 1. The character was Duke Sr., if that matters. First way, or the first emotional direction he was given was joyous, and the character talking about how wonderful life is in the woods. Right? And Russ, I think you did that extremely well. I thought your pacing was great, the emotion was great, your diction was great. Overall, great. I really have nothing else, nothing constructive, no criticisms to add for that. Sorry for such a short review on that, but, I really liked it. And, the second one, which was Going Insane. I enjoyed this very much also. I liked how you didn't overdo it. There was a huge opportunity with a direction like that, I think, to really ham it up and be like, oh, crazy, wild, nutso. But I liked how you held back on this, and how it made it seem more realistic, more like, I don't know what was going on in your head when you were doing it, but to me it gave the impression that the character wasn't completely Looney Tunes yet, but was getting there. I believe an additional direction I gave you was to think of it as this person had spent a little too much time alone in the woods and was talking to imaginary people. So I thought you did that extremely well. Oh, and I loved the laugh. I have to admit, at first I was a little unsure about it when I first heard it, because I listened to this another time, because Russ also got he won last round, so he got the pre-show critique. And because I tend to be a little bit of a purist when it comes to Shakespeare. Well, not all the time, because I have participated in some weird renditions. Romeo and Juliet with disco music and C-3PO on roller skates. It's all I'm going to say. But anyway, so yes, Russ, I thought both reads were extremely good. I actually have no critiques to give you, no advice to give you, no whatever help, because I really thought you did very excellent with these, and awesome job, awesome, great job. Okay, so next we are going to go on to Green Girl.
And why, I pray you? Who might be your mother that you insult, exalt, and all at once over the wretched? What though you have no beauty, as by my faith I see no more in you than without candle may go dark to bed, must you be therefore proud and pitiless? Why, what means this? Why do you look on me? I see no more in you than in the ordinary of nature's sail-work. Odds, my little life, I think she means to tangle my eyes too. No, faith, proud mistress, hope not after it. 'Tis not your inky brows, your black silk hair, your bugle eyeballs, nor your cheek of cream that can entame my spirits to your worship. You foolish shepherd, wherefore do you follow her, like foggy south, puffing with wind and rain? You are a thousand times a properer man than she a woman. 'Tis such fools as you that makes the world full of ill-favored children. 'Tis not her glass, but you that flatters her, and out of you she sees herself more proper than any of her lineaments can show her. And why, I pray you, who might be your mother that you insult, exalt, and all at once over the wretched? What though you have no beauty, as by my faith I see no more in you than without candle may go dark to bed, must you be therefore proud and pitiless? Why, what means this? Why do you look on me? I see no more in you than in the ordinary of nature's sail-work. Odds, my little life, I think she means to tangle my eyes too. No, faith, proud mistress, hope not after it. 'Tis not your inky brows, your black silk hair, your bugle eyeballs, nor your cheek of cream that can entame my spirits to your worship. You foolish shepherd, wherefore do you follow her, like foggy south puffing with wind and rain? You are a thousand times a properer man than she a woman. It is such fools as you that makes the world full of ill-favored children. 'Tis not her glass, but you that flatters her, and out of you she sees herself more proper than any of her lineaments can show her.
All right, and that was Green Girl doing a monologue, also from As You Like It, this one from Act 3, Scene 5, the character being Rosalind, or Rosalind, or Rosalind, or Rosalind, or Yeah, there's apparently a whole bunch of ways you can pronounce it. Things you learn. Yay, we're learning new things. I really, you know, even though I'm doing this by myself right now, I'm still not writing down my notes, which I know is terrible. For a bit of extra information, after I listened to this, I had to go and take out my fish to thaw. So my mind is all kind of, I don't know. But anyway, thrill as I talk about what I'm having for dinner. Woohoo. Yeah. Anyway, allow me to go on to your critique, Green Girl, as I'm sure you're like, stop talking and get to it. The first way was to, she's basically telling these people off. She thinks the woman she's talking to is an ugly, abusive bitch, and the shepherd who is in love with her is an idiot for being in love with her. I enjoyed this. I thought you did it very well. pardon me. I also got a glass of water, which I left in my kitchen. Oh, dear me. As I said, I enjoyed your first read of this. The only thing I was a little unsure about was your transitions. They were all right, but they sometimes they it seemed like a little what's the phrase I'm trying to think of here. I would have liked you to do like another take of this, just to kind of smooth out the transitions a little bit. They were definitely there and definitely noticeable, but it seemed like you were just kind of going a little halfway on them to me. There wasn't a clear in your mind there wasn't a clear like switch, or maybe, the part I'm talking about was. The parts where the character, or you as the character, whoever you want to put it, says, why, what means this? Why do you look on me? I guess from my own experience, I'm used to there being an emotional transition there. Something happens that makes her say that, and I didn't get entirely get the impression that there was something going through your mind to make you say that. And my phone is ringing. Terribly sorry about that. People always seem to call when I'm recording. So I'm gonna let this go for a sec before I continue with the critique, because ringing. Ringing, ringing, ringing. Okay, and ringing is done. As I was saying, it was good. Like I said, it was good, but that one part, it needed tweaking is what the thing was. Just a little bit of tweaking, right? Just right there. I think that there might have been another place, but I can't remember. Now you might be doing this and it's just not coming across. So that's what's the important thing, is that it comes across, right? Is that you're as the character having a change of thought, or thinking there's something in there that makes you have that change of thought. That is my critique for your first read. And the second way I asked Green Girl to do this was as if she was paranoid. This one, I also thought you did well on this one, but it seemed at like some points, like I thought you really, really got it. I could kind of feel that there was something going on with this character, and at other points, I think you downplayed it a little too much. Now, though this is like another one. Well, it's a little bit similar to the to the one to Russ's direction, and you kind of played it the same way, where it was kind of, you know, kind of held back. And I think that that does work, but sometimes, like, I felt it was a little too held back. It's like it had, like, it was kind of like a little roller coaster. Like, there was, like, some moments where you were like, you know, kind of, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And then there was other moments that I thought were really great. So, overall it was very, I did enjoy it. I thought it was good what you did there. All right, and next we are going to go on to Ophical.
You must sing down and down, and you call him Dona. Oh, how the wheel becomes it. It is the false steward that stole his master's daughter. There's Rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember. And there is Pansies. That's for thoughts. There's Fennel for you, and Columbines. There's Rue for you, and here's some for me. We may call it Herb of Grace or Sundays. Oh, you must wear your rue with difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. And they say he made a good end. For bonny sweet Robin is all my joy. You must sing! Down and down, and you call him a downer. Oh, how the wheel becomes it. It is the false steward that stole his master's daughter. There's Rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember. And there is Pansies. That's for thoughts. There's Fennel for you, and Columbines. Oh, there's Rue for you, and here's some for me. We must call it Herb of Grace for Sundays. Oh, you must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say he made a good end. For bonny sweet Robin is all my joy.
Right, and that was Ophical doing a reading from Hamlet, Act 4, Scene 5, the character being Ophelia. which I honestly, when I picked this out, I didn't even think Ophical, Ophelia. I totally, totally separate thought processes there, I assure you. Now, for the first one, the first way she was asked to do it was to be distant and out of touch with reality. And now, I have one small little note, Ophical, and that's actually a mixing note. It was very, very quiet and very hard for me to hear. I had to actually turn my volume up on my computer up pretty, almost up all the way to hear you. Just watch out for that next time if you do a quiet monologue like that. Which I know it's part of the character and to keep it quiet and stuff, but that makes it hard to hear, and I want to hear you. But that being said, I thought you did this, did it very well. I enjoyed your emotion and your pacing, and it was all very good. Some parts seemed a little, your diction seemed a little muddy, a little muffled in some parts. But other than that, it was very, very, very good read on the first way. Now, the second way she was asked to do this monologue was to be giddy and ditzy. Oh my goodness. No, I have to. At first, it seemed a little held back to me. But then when you got to the, and there is pansies, I burst out laughing. I swear it was great. It was great. I love it. And from then on, I thought it was great. And I really, really loved your second read. I mean, your first read was good. You know, I enjoyed that. It was done very well, but I absolutely completely loved, well, except for like a little bit at the beginning, like I said, when it seemed you were holding back a little bit, but when you got into it, it was great. And so awesomely good job. And now we are going to move on to Janie Girly 07.
I boarded the king's ship, now in the beak, now in the waist, the deck, and every cabin. I flamed amazement. Sometime I'd divide and burn in many places, on the topmast, the yards, and the bowsprit, what I flamed distinctly. Then meet and join. Jove's lightning's the precursors. Oh, the dreadful thunderclaps, more momentary and sight outrunning were not. The fire and cracks of sulphurous roaring, the most mighty Neptune seemed to besiege and make his bold waves tremble. Yea, his dread tried and shake. Not a soul, but felt a fever of the mad, and played some tricks of desperation. All but mariners plunge in the foaming brine and quit the vessel. Then all afire with me, the king's son, Ferdinand, with hair upstaring. Then, like the reeds, not hair, was the first man that leaped cried, "Hell is empty, and all the devils are here!" I boarded the king's ship, now on the beak, now in the waist, deck, and every cabin. I flamed amazement, sometimes I'd divide and burn in many places, on the topmast, the yards and bowsprit, what I flamed distinctly. Then meet and join, Joe's lightning, the precursors. Oh, the dreadful thunderclaps, more momentary and sight outrunning were not. The fire and cracks, sulphurous roaring, the most mighty Neptune seemed to besiege and make his bold waves tremble. Yea, his dread tried and shake. Not a soul, but felt a fever on the mad and played some tricks of desperation. All but mariners plunge in the foaming brine and quit the vessel. Then all afire with me, the king's son, Ferdinand, with hair upstaring, then like reeds, not hair, was the first man who leaped and cried, "Hell is empty, and all the devils are here."
And that was Janie Girly 07 doing a read from The Tempest, Act 1, Scene 1, and the character of Ariel. Yeah. fun fact, this is a bit near and dear to my heart because this is the first role that I've played in doing Shakespeare. But anyway. For her first read, Way thing, it was exciting, telling a thrilling tale. And she also got a pre-show critique. Now, I thought you took my direction from that critique very, very well. I'm glad you did. There's still, like, I can still feel the holding backedness of your reads, Janie Girly. But I did hear it for me. It seemed like a child telling a really cool story to his friends, you know, which, or her friends. Ariel is, I think, kind of a, my understanding is a bit androgynous. In some respects, anyway. But I like that, that you did it that way. I'm usually don't talk about the reads before the critiques, but I'm not going to now because I forgot completely what I was going to say about it. Now I remember. I thought your storytelling in this was a lot better. It seemed more like you were telling a story and were excited about it. Like, yeah, you know. But I felt to like you could have done a bit more with it. I thought you could have put more energy into it. Now, the energy that you had with it was good. I'm not saying that you're not going to get any points off for that. But I just, you know, would have loved to hear more energy. Woohoo! And the second way she was asked to do it was nervous and afraid of getting into trouble. Now, this one, honestly, I did not love as much as the first one. It was good. Once again, you took my directions and you made the changes you made were good. But I still got the feeling that you weren't entirely connecting the words you were saying to what you were feeling or supposed to be feeling. It seemed a bit, there was a separation there. Also, there was a few, some pronunciation and diction problems, minor ones. To me it sounded at least that in the part where you said, with hair upstaring, then like reeds not hair, it sounded like you said, with hair upstanding, then right reads. So, just a small little thing, nothing serious there, but I don't know. I know it was completely not your fault, but that kind of made me giggle a little bit. And there was a few other parts where your diction was a bit slurred. So, as always, watch out for that. Yes, I believe that's all I've got to say on that one. And lastly, tonight we have Temporary Butterfly.
Over hill, over dale, through bush, through briar, over park, over pale, through flood, through fire, I do wander everywhere, swifter than the moon's spear, and I serve the fairy queen to do her orbs upon the green. The cowslips tall her pensioners be, in their gold coat spots you see. Those be rubies, fairy favors, in those freckles live their savors. I must go seek some dewdrops here, and hang a pearl in every cowslip's ear. Farewell, thou love of spirits. I'll be gone. Our queen and all our elves come here and on. Over hill, over dale, through bush, through briar, over park, over pale, through flood, through fire, I do wander everywhere. Swifter than the moon's spear, and I serve the very queen to do her orbs upon the green. The cowslips tall, her pensioners be, and their gold coat spots you see. Those be rubies' fairy favors, and those freckles live their savors. I must go seek some dewdrops here, and hang a pearl in every cowslip's ear. Farewell, thou love of spirits. I'll be gone. Our queen and all our elves come here and on.
And that was Temporary Butterfly. Before I get to your critique, Temp, I want to slightly bitch about something, and that is Gmail, because I have all the stuff from this competition saved in a separate folder, and for some reason, it'll put stuff. If it's in the same, thread of messages, it'll put that stuff into the folder before it goes into my main folder. And so I thought you hadn't submitted this week, and I was like, no. And then there it was, thankfully. So, yes, grr to Gmail. But yay for Temp, because I love this. I think it was very good. I think it was actually your best one. so far again. Now, the first one, by the way, this was from A Midsummer Night's Dream, Act 2, Scene 1. The character was a fairy. Or the fairy. Well, no, there's probably a lot more. I've still not seen this play or read it or whatever, but still, fairy. Now, the first way was explaining where he, she, or she, since Temp is a she, is going and what she's doing. I thought you did that very well. Yeah. I enjoyed how you did it. Yes. I thought the emotion was good. The pacing was good. It was all good. Yay! Very good. So, and the second way that she did it was kind of pissed off and frustrated, and I enjoyed this as well. I always feel bad when I don't have a good critique to give people, but what can I say? Hey, you're doing good, so that's good. I liked the emotion and the pacing here. And I thought you portrayed this emotion very well, and it sounded like you were that you were enjoying doing it. So I definitely hope you were, and if you weren't, it sounded like you were, so that's a good thing. So both reads were very good. So, with that, round 4 is over, and now I have to rank you people. Yeah. And, let's see here. Okay, first, the winner is... Russ. Congratulations once again, Russ. Our second person is doodly 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 Temporary Butterfly. Yay for Temporary Butterfly. Yay. Our third person, doodly 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 doodly. Sorry for doing that. Okay. All right. Sorry. Our third person is Ophie Cal. Right, and that just leaves Green Girl and Janie Girl E. Right, and the person going home, not going home, the person who is no longer in the competition, and I don't know if you're away from your house right now, you could eventually, I imagine, go home, but he's going to be... Wait, no, I need a different noise for this one. Okay, how about this? Janie Girly. Janie Girly 07. I'm so happy you were in this competition I wish you the absolute best, and we all love you, everyone that's would be here if they could be here, and thank you once again for participating and all that good goodbye stuff. And now we're next up is going to be for the next round is going to be the Let's All Join Hands round, where contestants, that's you lovely people, will be split into teams of two, and you're going to do a scene together. Okay, so let's see. Who am I going to put together? All right. Because actually it was requested, I am going to put Ophie Cal and Russ together as a team. And so I'm going to put Green Girl and Temporary Bubba Fly as the other team. Now, you two, or four, or two, well, you people, anyway, are going to have to collaborate with each other to pick out a scene, a preferably two-person scene, to perform together. So, yeah, and there will be more information about that in the email that I will send. And so, yay. Thank you all once again for listening. And extra, extra thanks, Yus, for your patience, because I know this took far longer to get out than I had planned or hoped. But anyway, so now I will say goodbye and best of luck in the next round. Woohoo! Bye-bye.